Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Good Monday morning. Jeremy and Joe with you. We're also about a month from the NFL schedule, I think. Right? May 15th-ish.
That sounds about right.
Mid-May. Sal, you always know the NFL schedule timeline. Mid-May.
Usually around, it's, you know, it changed the last couple years. And now it's like the second week of May, right around there. It used to be before the draft. And yes, to answer anybody's question, Matt Bove and I will both be chatting with Mike North this year, and that is scheduled in about a week from now.
Very good.
So we will get the so any good schedule questions, make sure you hit Matt and I up. We'll promote it. But I'm guessing Mike will give us an idea of when it comes out. But I think what usually happens, guys, is they don't set a date until they know that they have it kind of finalized and say, okay, we can push it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just a few weeks away from that.
Yeah, last year, May 11th is when it was announced. So
yeah,
right around there.
Bills have a lot of, I mean, marquee games and good opponents.
Oh.
I'm worried about Seattle. Like, that Seattle trip is going to be cool, I think. So Seattle, L.A., Baltimore, road trips, you know? I mean,
How about Houston now with Stephon Diggs,
Houston,
with everything they have going on?
Yep.
That's in Houston.
Yep.
You know, actually, if you look at it, guys, the Bills have only, I think, four outdoor, colder weather city games, if that makes sense, because they're playing in, like, five domes. Detroit, L.A., Seattle's not a dome, but it's West Coast, Houston, and I'm missing, and then Miami, warm weather, obviously. And then what you got? New England, the Jets, the Ravens. There's cold weather cities. Never know when they're going to play. And then I'm missing one team that I did not mention in there that they're playing also on the road. Who am I missing? Because they're playing nine road games.
You said Seattle, right?
I'm gonna have to go. Yeah, I said Seattle. Not Jacksonville. Oh, who is the? Indy. Indy's the other dome.
Indy.
Right, right. Yeah.
Another dome.
Well, good, good. How have you been, Sal? It's been a while. We haven't had you on in a while. I know you've been on with the back with the Extra Point Show, but
yeah.
Back from Australia, back from the Diggs trade, back from everything, and 10 days now to the draft. So right into it, and also into phase one of off-season workouts for the Bills.
Yeah, it comes quick, right? I mean, I'm doing well. The time change really kicked my butt last week to come back, to be quite honest with you. Like, it was just... Yeah, I'm waking up at 4:30 in the morning, couldn't go back to sleep, and then getting tired during the day. And you're like, man, what is going on? So I think this weekend really did a good job to settle that down, and now it's full steam ahead with, you know, off-season workouts. The Bills do begin phase one today. It's always kind of interesting to talk about what that means, phase one, phase two, phase three. It's essentially just conditioning work for the first 2 weeks. It is nine straight weeks of a program. It is a nine-week off-season program. That will take you right until the middle of June, which will be a mandatory mini camp. And then they have that dead period until the end of July when training camp opens. We will hear from, I don't know if it'll be both Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean or just one. You know, with the draft coming up next week, and we'll also have players generally. We'll see exactly who we hear from, but that'll be later in the week. That schedule hasn't been finalized, but we'll get that in the media. But there's going to be a lot going on this week, and we're going to start to, you know, hear more about, you know, the draft, and then obviously, you know, from the Bills, you know, front office, but also from players and coming back here. And at least we don't have the question, is Stefon Diggs here this year when we show up, when that happens. And, you know, I say that in just because obviously he's a fantastic player, no longer the Bills roster, but that has been a storyline the last couple of years.
Yeah. So they'll be back to it phase one. You know, it's funny, Sal, you get like the inside look at the schedule with Mike North as you guys do that yearly. I want to be in the meetings when the NFL PA and the NFL negotiated phase one, phase two, and it came that long snappers are not allowed to snap it to holders. You know, like,
oh my God,
who decided that? Or defensive players cannot catch the ball under any circumstances. Like, it's another one of those odd little rules to make sure that it's just conditioning and it's not exactly football.
I know, right? And then, and what happened was, and it's a great point you bring up, Jeremy, about being in the room when they negotiated. Because remember what happened was, really prior to 2011, and then even more so prior to 2020, for the last two CBAs when they were signed. I mean, basically what happened was the NFL would, you know, require players to have a lot more time on task when they were at the facility. And the NFLPA said, you can't do as much. But in trade, the NFLPA gave a longer offseason, right? So you start in April now, and you go for 9 weeks. But throughout that period, it's like, yeah, you can say, it's all voluntary, of course. But they traded off having to get to, you know, camp or get to OTAs and minicamp and having a lot more time they had to be at the facility. Now there's only a certain amount of hours you can even be there and what you can do. But in trade, the NFLPA said, but that's fine. You can have, you know, voluntary workouts in April and in May. And they extended all of that. And that's pretty much where all of this bore out of. And really, what you're talking about, Jeremy, is really the NFLPA saying, we don't want to be taken advantage of as players. So if we allow the coaches to have players do these certain things you're talking about, what's the next step? So we're going to put in these specific rules to say they can't do this and they can't do that, because we don't even want to have the temptation for coaches to start making sure that they get those to do those things earlier than they're supposed to.
In terms of types of attendance, Sal, for these things, what do you think we usually get?
Generally, the Bills are very well attended. Like I said, there are some storylines every year. It's been, you know, Stefon Diggs the last couple of years. Now, a guy like Diggs, I'll say, like, he always was a hard worker anyway, though he wasn't here at the voluntary stuff until later in the summer, and then the mandatory minicamp, we know what happened last year. But I use him as an example because there are certain guys who just, you know, they do their own workouts and they stay where they are working out with the people they work out with. But would you love them here? Of course you would. Would Sean McDermott? Of course he would. Would Brandon Bean? Yes. So it's generally a very good turnout. We don't get the exact attendance, guys. What we'll get today, most likely, or this week, I should say, what we'll get this week is either Brandon Bean or Sean McDermott telling us how well attended it was. And if they want to give us specific players, if we ask about specific players, they'll tell us if they're there or not there. And then we also get, like, footage of guys. You'll get that today, probably. At some point today, you might get, I don't know, sometime this week, I'm sure, you'll get something posted on Bill's social media or the website with pictures or video and guys arriving. And you'll start to be able to go, oh, let's slow it down. Who's here? That's their guy. There's that guy. There's that guy. They generally have good attendance, Joe. You know, and I think it's important to, you know, point out two things. Number one, it is voluntary. You can't be fined. By the team, you can't be disciplined by the team if you're not there. But number two, you know, the organization wants everybody there as much as possible, and you'd love it if every single person was there to start doing what they need to do to get ready. There are no coaches on the field, only strength and conditioning coaches at this point, the first 2 weeks at least.
Okay. And on that, today wouldn't be that day anyway, even if this were a situation arising with the Bills, because like you said, they don't officially tell you who and it's voluntary. There's no one on the roster, right, to be tracking this year of, like, this was at Oliver a couple years ago. Like, will he show up for certain things because of contract dispute potential? Like, off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone that would be, right?
I can't think of anyone. I'm looking at the roster right now, and I'm like, you know, who would that be? There's no one going into the final year of their deal where we are kind of wondering about. Few years ago, that was, like you said, Ed Oliver. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Poyer was another one we talked about a couple of years ago, right?
Yep.
Stefon Diggs obviously has been not necessarily contractually, but you know, what does he want to do and all that kind of stuff that we talked about. I'm looking at the roster now. The only guy who really is coming up soon is Greg Rousseau, but the Bills are most likely going to exercise his fifth-year option. And then, so he's actually under contract for two more years. Like, that would be the only kind of guy. He's the only one, actually, like, the bigger name that has 1 year left on his deal. But he's going to have 2 years left on his deal coming less than a month from now.
Spencer Brown, I guess, is in the final year of his deal. But that's not a guy, I don't know. Just the position and anything we've ever heard about him, like, that would be flooring, right?
And what would that play look like, right? I mean, like, okay, wait. I mean, listen, yeah, you're a nice player. You had a nice year last year, but what kind of power play are you making here? Spencer Brown, the right tackle. That's a guy who, if anything, he'd be helping himself in his contractual situation by showing up and being here all the time and showing everybody he's ready to work and get paid, you know, and that instead of doing the other way. So, yeah, I think that's a good name to bring up. But, yeah, I would not expect anybody to be in that situation.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, we're also getting reports, information on who the Bills are bringing in for their official 30 visits or top 30 visits or private workouts. The latest name we've seen is Laiatu Latua, defensive end from UCLA. And, you know, for me, like, this name at defensive end, I've seen him mocked, mentioned this earlier in the show, he's mocked a lot in the late teens, early 20s. Maybe he makes it to 28. But for me, it's another indication that maybe the Bills are motivated. I'm not saying, like, this one player. A lot of people think Brandon Bean might move up because that's what Brandon Bean does. I guess what I'm saying is Latu is a guy that they might have to move up for a little bit the same way they would for some of these receivers. And they've treated defensive end, of course, as a position that is really important to them in the draft, spending picks in the first, in the second. So Latu here, it would make sense. You know, I know we're driving the receiver train full time, but this is definitely a player I could see them targeting. If he's on the board, they'd have a tough time passing on him.
Yeah, I mean, it would be, this is comes down to best available player and need and all those things that we always talk about, right? And look, I would make an argument they do need another pass rusher. So if that value is there with the receiver group the way it is, coming out of this draft and how good it is and knowing that you can get some later, I wouldn't be stunned. I mean, at this point, I still think it's got to be wide receiver. But, man, if you have a really high-ranked pass rusher and he falls and you're sitting there and going, man, we can still get a really nice receiver in the second round, in the third round, and maybe even move up to do that if there's a guy we still like, then I think Brandon Bean has a decision to make. Because if you look at this roster, going back to, we were just talking about, you know, the guys on the roster and what it looks like contractually, but how about just performance-wise and what they have on the edge? I think the great unknown is what Von Miller is going to do this year. And there's certainly a optimistic tone of he'll bounce back and get back to maybe not, you know, peak Von Miller, but certainly be impactful and a really good player. But there's also got to be some questions, guys, and if Von Miller doesn't rebound, he doesn't come back, if he has even close to what he didn't do last year, well, you're looking at your top pass rushers as Greg Rousseau, A.J. Epenesa, and Casey Tuhill. And that's not going to scare offensive coordinators on a weekly basis. They're nice players. So I think the Bills have to really figure out what Von is or he's going to be this year and how that's going to play out in the draft as far as the rest of their offseason, too.
I will just throw this name out there. I don't know if, you know, he rates in any way for this, Sal, but you know who had the second best win rate on pass rushes for the Bills last year on the edge?
I'm going to guess it's A.J. Epenesa.
Kingsley Jonathan last
year. Oh, all right.
He was only wrong. Below Rousseau. He didn't have as many snaps, right, as like Epenesa or these other guys, but I still see him listed here. I don't know if he rates, like I said, in that way anyway, but is that, would you expect they'll do something if they don't draft it in the first round? Maybe they go the whole draft and it just never works out, that they would bring in, like, one more veteran? Like, do you think there's another, and I know, like, they'll fill out the roster, but, like, a name that rates enough to where you think, like, okay, that guy's probably on the team?
You mean a free agent name? Or
Is there, do you, the numbers they currently have at the edge, like, could you see them being all set and just filling out the rest with lower level, you know, players that would just compete for the bottom of the roster spot?
Yeah, because right now you bring up a good name in Kingsley Jonathan. I mean, he's the fifth guy right now. Right? I mean, I would think that the top four are Miller, Rousseau, Epenesa, and Tuhill, whatever order you want to jumble them in, I would think that's the top four. You know, Kingsley Jonathan probably battles with a guy like Casey Tuhill, and they really like Cameron Klein as well. Cameron Klein had been elevated or played a little bit over the last couple years, a little bit here and there. They like him. And then if you look at the interior, Austin Johnson can kick out once in a while if you want to go with a three-down lineman set. They do have that ability. And then obviously you're getting interior pass rush from Ed Oliver. So I think overall the group, they probably feel pretty comfortable. But yeah, I think that if there's a guy, if it doesn't work out in the draft or they can bring in another young guy they feel they can develop, maybe they look in the free agent market and say, okay, we can bring in another veteran here. They seem to do it every year at some point. You know what this reminds me of, Joe, is the Puna Ford situation last year. I know it's interior.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember last year, there was a little bit of rumblings before the draft about Puna Ford. And they didn't do it. And then they go to the draft, and they don't draft an interior defensive lineman. And right after the draft, they signed Puna Ford. You know what Brandon Bean said? He said, well, we kind of had discussions, but we wanted to see how the draft played out. They didn't want to force themselves. And they wanted to make sure they had that ability. They knew they had Puna Ford kind of sitting there that we can go to him. I wonder if that's the case this year. Maybe there's somebody out there and they go, we could still add to this group. We don't need to force it in the draft. But if I look at this group now that they have, I think that, yeah, I mean, Kingsley Jonathan is your fifth is not a bad deal, as you say. I just don't know if they have the top-end guy unless Von Miller comes back to be that top-end guy.
All right. Which is maybe a big ask for him and for them mm-hmm. to make of him. Sal joining us on the Western Hotline as we count down the days to the draft. Other news around the league, Sal, I mean, is there anything else that, you know, as we get to 10 days in, you're thinking about the league? And here's one for you. The new kick return stuff is, they can't do anything about it today in phase one, but there's a story that Micah Parsons has lobbied to be the Cowboys kick returner. And I've seen it, right? I've seen a few... Running backs could do it because it's going to be different than it's ever been. The skill set might be different. And I wonder how this team and how any team, you know, in your opinion, might change the way they look at the person that's returning the kicks. Like how different the skill set is now, the way the kickoff has been changed.
It is a great question. It's something we debated a lot during the owners' meetings when this happened. I think there's a school of thought, Jeremy, that you're going to have more running back types as kick returners now. And I know some running backs do it anyway, but not necessarily the explosive guys. So a Deontay Hardy. And I thought maybe, look, hey, this actually ties into the Bills. Do the Bills really have a return man? I don't care if it's punt or kick. They have Khalil Shakir. Do we expect Khalil Shakir to be their top return man? Not if he's going to be their main slot guy. I mean, who's the Bills' number one return man? They don't really have a dedicated return man right now. I thought Deontay Hardy might be that guy to come back. He signed with the Ravens over the weekend. He just signed yesterday, I believe, officially with the Ravens. Now, that's punt returning as well. But yes, I do think teams are going to try and figure out what's best for them. Do they need a more of a running back, closer space, powerful guy because you're just getting it and going? Do they go with more of a traditional look on kickoff returns and kind of the same kind of guys that we've seen that don't have to be like that as much? I think Ty Johnson could be the perfect fit there. You know, he is a running back, but he is a return man. Maybe that's it. Everything about the return is going to change as far as how every team is going to view the guys running down to cover, the guys blocking to cover, and the guys returning kicks. What the Steelers did immediately, as soon as the rule was changed, the Steelers signed Cordarrelle Patterson to return kicks. I mean, obviously there had to be a thought of right there, okay, they're going to do this, we're going to get a guy that we feel comfortable in. I think it's going to be fascinating how teams approach it.
Yeah.
We're at a point now, right, just because 10 days left, where, like, I've got a list of free agent receivers that Warren Sharp was writing about, and we just talked about defensive ends for this and returners, where any move for someone that's out there right now, Sal, would you not expect that, like, most league activity on that front is being put off until after the draft?
I do. Yeah, most likely. I mean, you never know. There might be an agent that, you know, kind of forces a team's hand and says, look, I mean, you know, if you go in and you draft a guy, we're not coming there or whatever. And the team, you know, that's the negotiating part. And the team has their say, too. So you might want to get a guy, an agent might want to get a player there before the draft to kind of make sure the team knows they have the guy. And then because if they draft somebody, they don't go sign him. But yes, I agree. I think most teams are going to operate, Joe, whereas we're going to see how this plays out. If we get a guy we like in the draft, guess what? Rookie contract, we don't need to go sign you and give you a couple extra $1 million a year.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline as we get closer and closer to the draft. 10 days away now. Thank you, Sal. What's coming up in the Extra Point Show?
Actually, you know what? Today, guys, we are going to talk with, today, Matt Bove and I are going to have Brian Baldinger on our Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. So we're going to do that today. That's a little bit later. And then when Joe and I are together on Extra Point Show, we're going to have Dave Buchanan on. Talk, how about the Bandits? The Bandits are in the playoffs, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big deal, right? They had a nice win streak at the end of the year. So we'll do that. I want to dig into this Coyotes NHL thing that's going on a little bit. And then, of course, you know, I mean, we are full steam ahead on offseason workouts and the NFL draft.
Very good. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
On the offseason workouts, on the NFL draft, on potential trades, I want to dig into the Ayuk stuff. I mean, I think Bills fans have come to know that Brandon Ayuk is a number one receiver that could be made available. His agent denies that they've requested a trade, but there have been reports that Pittsburgh, among others, has pursued Ayuk, and that Jacksonville got an offer from the Niners on Brandon Ayuk. So I think it's reasonable to think he's going to go to an AFC team if he gets moved, right? Isn't that how this goes? If you're the Niners, you're going to trade a number one receiver in his prime. You're going to try to move him to the AFC. I want to ask a question about Ayuk and these Bills when we return. 803-0550-1888-550-2550 on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Text WGR at 803-0550 or post on X at WGR550 and get connected to Jeremy and Joe now. Brought to you by Northtown Kia.
Well, you know, hopefully I can add a little insight from experience, especially the 8 years of being in the NFL, being behind the scenes in the draft, knowing what goes into it, knowing how they evaluate players, know how you do a got a mock draft to try to figure out, you know, who's going to be available, you know, when we pick. Because I think most people, they just think you get to pick who you want to pick. No, you got to pick who's available when you pick, and you got to try to figure that out so that you can, you know, put some guys in the right spots for you and what your needs are on your team.
Nick Saban will be a part of draft coverage. His analysis will be, you have to pick guys that are available.
And this guy is a football player, let me tell you.
Sure, he'll be good. He's good. All right, hey, good morning. It's sunny. It's nice.
Today's going to be a nice day.
Today is seventh spring, and next week will be... You'll tell me there's snow in the forecast and it's going to be miserable again and it's mud season part seven.
I believe that is on the docket. Or was it this past Saturday?
Don't even look it up. I don't even want to know.
I heard some thunder yesterday for the first time this year.
Okay. I've got a question.
Yeah, low of 36 a little bit later in the week.
I didn't want to hear that anyway. So Brandon Ayuk has requested a trade, but maybe he hasn't requested a trade. Anyway,
his agent says he hasn't requested a trade.
He has unfollowed the Niners on Instagram. This is not a thing you actually have to care about.
You could, though.
You could.
Sometimes it so comes to fruition.
Here's my question slash statement slash plea with, I don't know, anybody willing to listen. If you're listening, thank you. Joe, I had a person write to me on Twitter about the Ayuk idea and said, we shouldn't replace a diva with a diva.
Oh, man. All right.
And my feeling in my heart was, I need to mute the word diva for the rest of my life. Because here's the statement I want to make. Or the question. Maybe I should put this up as a Twitter poll so we can find out, you know, what percentage of Bills Mafia has lost their minds.
Mm-hmm.
If you were told today the Bills are going to make the Ayuk trade, it'll go exactly the way it did with Diggs, would you take it?
Yes.
Of course.
I would sign up in a heartbeat.
You will get 50 games where for 42 of them, the quarterback and the receiver will lead the league in touchdowns and yards and catches.
Right. They'll be the most effective duo in the league.
And yet, you've got some Bills fans acting like, we can't make that mistake again. What?
I think if you... Also, is Ayuk a diva? Why is he even being called that in the first place?
Because he plays receiver, and other people take notice of who he follows on Instagram.
And because he wants to be paid?
Yes.
Is that it? A receiver wants to be paid, and they're a diva? Okay.
That is it.
I think if you are... And I don't even think Ayuk really qualifies for that. I want a diva. The divas are usually the good ones. The ones that are called divas. I don't even want to say they are. Just if you have a receiver that's being called a diva, you know what that receiver probably is? He's probably really good. How often do you hear DJ Chark called a diva?
Right.
Right? How often do you hear, I don't know, who's like a bad receiver? Josh Reynolds. How often do you hear Josh Reynolds called a receiver? Not that he's bad. If your receiver's being called a diva, he's probably a really good wide receiver.
Yeah, it's
really good wide receiver.
It's someone with an opinion. It's someone that's whatever. You could say it a lot of different ways.
I just think if you're eliminating anyone where you just even have a whisper of, oh, this guy's got diva qualities, then I think you are eliminating all the number one wide receivers in the league, and you're never going to end up in a good place. You're never going to end up with a great wide receiver if you do that, if you subscribe to that.
And the reality is, like, it happens all over the field. You just never see it happen about anybody but receivers. I mean... We watched Brady and Rodgers late in their career become the definition of this. And
oh my God.
The label doesn't necessarily stick the same way. Whatever. If you're a great player, you get a different set of rules. That's just kind of how it works. And again, not even to say Ayuk is that. Even if it went that way. These top receivers, I've seen Marvin Harrison Jr. has been given this label already because he didn't work out at the combine or whatever. Or he didn't run for his Ohio State Pro Day, or whatever the specific set of circumstances were. Oh, I don't know about this guy. He no-showed for his interview at the combine. Okay, or it got moved. The labels that get attached to pretty much only receivers, it's wild. You don't want Brandon Ayuk because, I'm sorry, why? He's amazing and feels like he should be paid well for it. How long until Justin Jefferson gets this tag put on him? Oh, he's a problem. If his quarterback this year isn't good, there'll be realistic fears about what Jefferson might want to do. He wants to have a career. He wants to be good, like a lot of these guys do. So, for me, it's just there's lots of reasons to think that Ayuk is ready to be the next Diggs. And if you think that is a bad thing, I don't know what to do with you.
Did Terrell Owens start all this? When did this start?
Who was the first?
Yeah. Was it Owens working out in his driveway, you know, yelling at the Donovan McNabb and the Eagles?
Probably happened before the Eagles' time, sure. It happened in San Francisco with him, I guess.
What, like
who
standing
else?
On the star? Or even beyond that? I don't know. Who's before Owens that would have been called that? Because I feel like a lot of guys since then have been called that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Ayuk is obviously not that for me. And if you want to say problem, like I saw one take this weekend, I'm forgetting who it was, that if you trade for Ayuk, then you are... You know, you're re-entering your cap problems, I guess, if that's your pathway for a receiver. I mean, you're probably going to end up there no matter what. The Bills are always going to be a team that spends right up to the salary cap. So one way or another, that's going to happen. But obviously the bigger talking point or debate about Ayuk is, do you want to go right back into paying a wide receiver $25 million a year? You're basically signing up for the entirety of Josh Allen's prime. Because if you, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, you trade for Ayuk right now. What is he, 26 years old? You think 5 years maybe? If it's the Diggs length, 4 or 5 years. You've basically taken all of Josh Allen's prime, and your number one receiver is always on the big contract. Like, you never got to the stud young receiver on a cheap deal where you could spread that wealth elsewhere, you could do other things with it. If you go Diggs to Ayuk... That's basically all of Allen's prime with you've got to pay the big receiver number one money. You never, in part because you never drafted a guy, right?
And I don't actually see any problem with that at all. Is it not six dozen one, half a dozen the other? Wait, six of one, half dozen the other? Sorry, that's what I was getting at.
Uh-huh.
I could either pay a receiver $30 million and have to spread it around somewhere else, or I could pay my defensive tackle, who I go out and get in a big deal. I mean, Ed Oliver got paid big. They went out and signed Vaughn. He was pretty old. Next year, they're going to have a ton of cap space. Aren't people going to want them to sign somebody expensive? Whoever that might be.
They're going to do something with it. Yeah. They're not going to be $10 million below the cap going into a season.
Right. You're going to spend this money eventually. And if you're spending it on Allen, number one, and then the other spots to spend it are, what, left tackle, defensive end, wide receiver. Like, those are the big spots. Maybe corner if they went out on the market and tried to sign somebody to a market-level deal. So you're going to spend the money somewhere with all the picks they have, the 10 picks in the draft. This is the argument against trading up is, hey, we're a team that's going to be near the top because of our quarterback, and we have expensive taste. I think Bean might have expensive taste. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
The one way to offset having expensive taste, whether that's, you know, on a receiver or defensive end or whoever, is to get a bunch of guys on those cheap deals, and they have 10 picks to do it. So if you want to save money for free agency next year and go out and land a really big fish, then the way to do that is to not trade up, use all your picks. And when we get to next year, say, like, well, listen, I got four guys in the draft last year that look really good, and they're starters. We're going to pencil them in for 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, go ahead and sign this edge rusher. Go ahead and sign, you know, whoever it might be, if it's Ayuk to an extension. So I'm not afraid of the quarterback receiver money. I mean, you've got lots of examples of it around the league that have worked.
Yeah.
Maybe not, you know. I just think it's exactly one of those things where for a while we had the no quarterback on his second contract has won a Super Bowl. And, of course, that was just a matter of time before that got obliterated, and Mahomes going to do it a bunch of times. And Allen's probably going to do it. Is Burrow going to do it? Is, you know, name the quarterbacks. We're about to enter a 10-year period of a lot of great quarterbacks on second-year deals that will not be replaced. So that it's just the nature of the beast. It's the passage of time with the salary cap in the NFL.
Yeah, that's good too. The Super Bowl odds right now, like who's the highest ranked Super Bowl team that has a quarterback and a rookie deal?
It's got to be Houston.
Houston is seventh. Oh, I skipped over San Francisco.
Okay.
So it's the first team, but then two through six are all quarterbacks that
second
have been paid.
Second contract, got paid.
Yeah. Should we consider, we spent a lot of time on the idea of, and I have, on the Bills going into the top 10 to go get Rome Odunze and trade their first-round pick next year to do it. Should we consider Ayuk to be more likely to happen?
Yes.
Like, it's more probable that, what is it, 8 days from, more than that, 9 days from today, that they are going to, it's more probable that they will trade for Brandon Ayuk that night than they're going to trade into the top 10.
Yeah, I might say that. There's a couple different reasons. One, Ayuk is a stable target.
Right.
You are calling one team and meeting that team's price.
Right.
If you want to, let's make it about Odunze or neighbors. That is not a stable target. They could go 4-5-6. They could go 4-6-11.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody, and I've got to call a few other teams. I've got to outbid the other teams on that draft night. And if I'm calling the Niners for Ayuk, they know I'm giving them 28. But if I'm trying to trade up, now that team that is drafting in the spot that's eighth, mm-hmm. ninth, I've got to convince them or pay them to drop back to 28. I'm paying a different price.
Right.
So, sure, I think the variables are greater when it comes to moving up in the draft.
And if you move up into the top 10, you're giving up your first-round pick next year. And for Ayuk, you're not doing that.
No, you're probably like just giving one first and some more beyond that.
That would be your way of, you've landed your whale, your number one receiver, that night while still maintaining that you have a first-round pick next year.
Yeah.
And 2 seconds.
I don't necessarily think, it's funny, like, it's one of those things where I'm trying to pick which outcome is the most likely or what should be the favorite.
Like for him to get paid or traded?
Well, you asked me if I think it's more likely they trade for Ayuk than trade up into the top 10. And
yeah.
I think yes. But if you ask me, okay, how about trading to 16?
That's more
now
likely
that's
than
back
Ayuk.
On the table because you might be able to do that without giving up a first.
Right.
We all expect him to make a move.
I do.
The Twitter poll was 90% of the Bills fans that voted think that Bean will select somewhere other than 28. I mean, if they traded for Ayuk, they wouldn't be selecting at 28 because they'd probably trade that pick. So we're 10 days away from finding out exactly what it is they're going to do. But I do expect movement.
And again, the reported price that the Niners wanted from Jacksonville for Ayuk was Zay Jones and the 19th pick overall. So if they want a player on top of it, maybe the price comes down. I don't know. The Jaguars wouldn't be in it anymore, right? Like I guess they could be. They already paid Gabe Davis. Maybe that report came after they did that, though. I don't know. But you're paying 28, and you're probably paying up. You're giving them Khalil Shakir or a player off the roster. Like, if that's you don't have to, but that's what the Niners. Yeah. If that report is right, it's what the Niners wanted. They wanted a receiver back in the trade.
Is first time we brought this up, you mentioned like Shakir and said, is Shakir not more valuable than Zay Jones?
He is. But is he a nine pick trade down more valuable? You know what I mean? Is 19 and Zay Jones equivalent to 28 and Shakir? Because what's the difference between 19 and 28?
It's a good question. I don't know. The Bills.
But I agree. Yeah, I think Shakir is more valuable than Zay Jones right now.
But then I'm back in the same problem I had before, right? So, okay, the problem is I need to help out my receiver room and help out Josh Allen. If I give up a receiver to get a receiver, my numbers are still like, oh, well, we got to take two now.
But they have...
Sure, they've upgraded.
But the room looks substantially better. It fits better, right?
Now it's just Ayuk, great, and Mac Hollins, and right. Curtis Samuel. Okay, yeah, I forgot about Curtis Samuel.
Curtis Samuel's the slot guy, right?
But the point is, Shakir is someone that became one of the most efficient receivers in football last year, and I think that you're not the least bit eager to give that up. So if you're offering me, all right, I can trade away a receiver to get a receiver, or I just don't do that and try to build it organically through my own draft picks in a deep class, I think the Bills are more likely to just kind of stick where it is. If Shakir is an ask from San Francisco, I think that's what the Bills say. Like, well, we're not going to go down that road. That just makes way less sense for me. I'm just moving my problem into a different spot. I need to bolster my receiver room. And yes, I'm upgrading, yep, but I'm also moving it to the outside. I don't know,
but
I'd be very surprised, because Samuel can play in the slot. Kincaid can play, obviously, big slot. We know that. They've got so many guys available to play the middle and not enough on the outside that I get why you would say that.
Sure.
I just don't think the Bills would be eager to do that.
That's why you draft Jalen Polk in the second round after you trade for Brandon Ayuk, though.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. 10 days from the draft. Meanwhile, I got Kyle Porter, who covers golf for CBS, predicting – or asking the likelihood of a Scotty Slam.
A Scotty Slam. So he needs the other two. Wait, is he saying within a calendar year?
Well, what if he got just four in a row? Include the players.
Man. I mean,
he's got
Tiger didn't even do that.
No.
Not in 1 year.
He's got the two big ones. PGA's next.
Yeah.
The Open.
Mm-hmm. Where's the Open this year? Because I know we got Valhalla and then I think Pinehurst for the U.S. Open.
Yep.
The Open Championship in 2024 is in Royal Troon.
Okay. I don't know how good he is there. Anyway, Kyle Porter, he points out, Scotty has lost to one golfer since March 1st.
Wow. Who's the golfer?
Good question.
Okay, it doesn't matter. It's one golfer.
Who won 2 weeks ago? Who won when he missed the playoff putt? It was that story about the guy, Peter...
Malnati?
Yes.
Malnati.
Right.
Who ruined a golf pole, a pool that I was in this week, because he was like 20 over par.
Congrats.
Sorry, Malnati.
803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, give us a call if you'd like on the Ayuk rumors and chatter, because, you know, it's out there, and reports are that Pittsburgh has been aggressively pursuing that route. We'll chat with you if you'd like here on WGR.
Vern wrote a book back in 2018 called Play by Play. And the last line in the book that you wrote, Vern, I want to apply it to you. You said, thanks, to borrow a phrase, thanks for the memories. Your voice has been a beautiful instrument. Thank you for a wonderful soundtrack for all of our lives.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's my honor, my privilege.
Vern Lundquist, 40th Masters for him, his final. Dun, 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 dun. This is the one. This is the music.
The picture you may have seen gone viral, by the way, of Tiger shaking hands with the tree, that was Vern Lundquist on the other side of the tree that Tiger was shaking hands with, I think.
Wow. What a way to memorialize Vern Lundquist, to allow him to become a tree.
To live at Augusta
on the grounds,
for eternity.
Yes, where he, his dream to be
Listen,
a part of Augusta National.
If you were going to want to become a plant, then you would want to be a tree at Augusta.
No, you'd want to be an azalea.
No, because azaleas...
That's the star of the show at Augusta, is the azaleas.
But you live for like a day.
You bloom for a day.
You bloom for a day.
You live all
a tree, year. Though. I could watch hundreds of years of the Masters, but it would be the same hole every year or every time.
You could also knock down golf balls, too, if you're a tree.
True.
Hey, I've got a stat of the day for you.
Stat of the day is presented by Seneca Gaming in Irving, home of the biggest bingo payouts and slot machines with thousands won daily.
The WNBA draft is tonight.
Yes, 7:30.
The Indiana Fever own the first pick. They tweeted out.
For now, they're going to trade down.
Yeah, right. They tweeted out 22 hours, some graphic with the number 22. Who wore number 22? Caitlin Clark wears 22. Joe, last year, the Indiana Fever had one game nationally televised.
Okay.
Do you know what that number is this year? Before they even select Caitlin Clark at number one overall. Do you know what number, how many games will they have nationally televised this year?
Double digits.
36 out of 40.
Out of 40?
From 1
to 36?
To 36.
90% of their season is going to be nationally televised.
Caitlin Clark.
Would have been better if it was 22.
I don't think they're going to trade down.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Yeah. That's
imagine night. Calling them. Like, hey, what do you think? Can you even make it through the phone call?
200 first round picks in a row.
200.
You can have our next 200 first and seconds. No thanks.
Angel Reese also should be in this tonight. I don't know if she's supposed to go second.
Neighborhood. She's top five. So is Cardoza.
Okay.
From South Carolina.
The LA Sparks have the second pick. So they would be Cameron Brink. I'm looking at one right now. Cardoza third. I don't see Angel Reese till you get to eight.
Okay.
So we'll see. 7:30. Will you watch?
Sure. I mean, the Sabres hit intermission around then, right?
That's right.
Sabres and Lightning tonight.
I don't even know what the Indiana Fever jersey looks like, so I would like to get a glimpse of her holding up the jersey that I'm going to be watching her in.
803-0550, take a break. On the other side, more on the Ayuk idea, if it's a good one for the Bills. And we'll get back to our Twitter poll about the Sabres as well as they finish their season this evening. If you're on hold, stick with us. Right to your calls on the other side, 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.